The following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9. Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host Mark Friedman may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Financial planning and investment advice is offered through Friedman Financial, an SEC registered investment advisor located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, a member of FINRA and SIPC. Friedman Financial is a separate entity from LPL Financial. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planner professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you. And now, here's the host of Dollars and Cents, Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial.
Good morning and welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. It is Palm Sunday and it is also the day before Passover starts. So a lot of holidays coming up. Hope you had an enjoyable St. Patrick's Day weekend last weekend. If you're preparing for Easter and the upcoming weekend, I hope you're getting the house all ready, starting to paint up all the eggs and take care of all that stuff. And if you're Jewish, I hope you're getting all that hummus. That hummus, for those of you that aren't Jewish, means bread or yeast or flour products. Hope you're getting all that stuff, clearing it out of your house because it's time to eat the matzah. That's not the tastiest thing in the world, but I don't know how Jews do it year after year after year after year, and we seem to eat it each and every single day of Passover. Horrible food, but we do eat it somehow. So happy holidays both now and in the future to you. But you know what's also coming up this week or in the next few weeks? Tax time. And no one likes paying taxes, but we all have to do it. And so today on our show on Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9, we are going to talk about taxes. Well, my name is Mark Friedman. I'm CEO and president of Friedman Financial. We're located in Peabody, Massachusetts, which is right by the North Shore Mall. Real easy to get to. We would love to meet with you if you'd like to talk about your financial situation, putting your whole financial situation and house back in order. That's what we do. Yes, we manage money. Yes, we help you with your investment decisions, but we do so much more than that. We take a look at the big picture. We want to know where everything is and what it's worth before we ever start investing money for you, because we want to help you make smart decisions with your money. And on this show, on Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9, this show is all about helping you make decisions on your own if you want. You can do this. You know, there's a large population of people that are out there today that continue to manage their money, manage their financial life on their own, and that's okay. Look, we all do that. Look, there are times, for instance, when you have a plumbing issue. You may choose to hire a plumber, or you may choose to do it on your own. Think about it. Doing it yourself is something that is much more and more prevalent these days. Take a look at the Home Depots, the Lowe's department stores, all of these places that are built around do-it-yourself opportunities. And frankly, between these do-it-yourself locations and Google, which seems to be the solution for everything these days, you can find a lot of answers. Now, if your answers that you're looking for are more than something that's just a financial result or a specific answer, perhaps a financial advisor, a financial planner, preferably a certified financial planner, is what you need. Because especially right now, you're going to start submitting your tax returns to your accountant or even doing it yourself with Quicken that's out there, with TurboTax that's out there. You might be asking yourself a lot of questions and wondering, do I really understand all of this financial stuff that's out there? A certified financial planner will help you on the right path, guide you in the right direction, and if you need some tax help, they'll introduce you to the right people as well. So with tax season coming up, I want to introduce you to this week's financial tidbit of the week. We call this the smart money tip of the week. One of the things that people don't realize is that when you get your paycheck each week, there are various withholdings that are done, of course. There's your federal tax withholding, your state tax withholding. There's the FICA, which is really your Social Security and Medicare withholding. And perhaps you have other withholdings as well. Perhaps you put money into a 401k plan. Perhaps you have money withheld for health insurance reasons, for life insurance. Perhaps you have money saved in different places. But what's interesting is that let's say there were two people in the office and both of them made $500 for the week. If they both are going to have federal taxes withheld. They're both going to have state taxes withheld. But did you know that when they open up their paycheck, they may have actually different net amounts in their check? Now, people would say, well, how is that possible? We got paid the same amount of money, but we have different amounts that we're actually taking home? Well, a lot of that is predicated on how people fill out their W-2, the information that says, what exemption do I want? What marital status do I want to file? And a lot of people don't understand that. Now, I'm not going to get too deep into what this all means, but the financial tip of the week is really about making sure that you understand whether you have the right withholdings done. You see, when you go to visit your accountant this week, or in the next weeks to come, or you do it in TurboTax, however you choose to do it, you might say, wow, I got a big refund coming back. Can't wait. Or, I owe a lot of taxes. Well, you know, a lot of it is predicated on the way that you chose your withholdings on your W-2. If you go to the IRS website, irs.gov, and you type in your, there's a section there where you can type in your own paycheck, and it can show you the various deductions, but it can also show you, does it make sense to choose single or married? And just because you're married doesn't mean you can't choose single, you know. And then there's the thing called exemptions. Sometimes people have exemption of zero, married zero. You've heard this expression, married zero, single zero. Then some people say, well, exemption must mean the number of children I have. So if I have two kids, I must put in married two. No, you don't need to do that. All these are little trigger points within the IRS tax withholding code that says, I want to have more or less money taken out of my paycheck. The IRS does not know, well, they would on the tax return whether you're married or whether you have kids, but you're not beholden to replicating that through your pay stub. Like I said, the financial tip this week is to go back, take a look at your pay stub. See what your withholdings are. Is it married zero? Is it single four? Is it extra money being withheld from your pay? What is it? How are you handling it? And if you're getting a big refund, or if you're having to owe a lot of taxes for the previous year, you might go back and take a look and say, if I adjusted my withholdings on my pay stub, could that be the reason why I do have how I could change from having a big refund or a small refund? Because if you really think about it, as much as H&R Block and all of these other tax companies start to advertise, we can get you a bigger refund than the next guy, my attitude is, you don't want a refund. A refund is basically a loan to the government at no interest. Think about that. We all, doesn't matter how much money you make, whether it's a lot of money, whatever a lot of money is, or a little bit of money, the tax is just a mathematical calculation. And whether you have the right amount withheld or not, you're going to owe that same amount, whatever that right number is supposed to be. If you had too much withheld, that means you're getting money back. If you didn't have enough withheld, that means you owe money. It's not like, oh, I did it right. Oh, I've got a smart accountant because he helps me get a refund every year. It's not like you beat the system. There's a mathematical number that says, here's the tax that you owe. And using the IRS as a tax-free loan for you may not be the smartest solution, may not be the smartest strategy. We continue to provide little tidbits like this in our weekly newsletter that's called Planning Pointers. Planning Pointers comes out each and every Friday at 10:30 in the morning. All you need to do if you'd like to receive Planning Pointers is to go to my website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. You just go there, pops up. Actually, there's a little video you can watch, which is really, really cool. We've got this thing called whiteboard animation that we're introducing into our practice. If you watch that video, I love it. And we've had tons of hits on YouTube as well. Go watch the video. But after you're done with the video, sign up for Planning Pointers. Put your name in there, how you heard of us, and be sure you mention North Shore 104.9 so we know that you're a listener to the show. If you've got questions for us, you can dump it in there as well. And we'll continue to respond to you, and we'll give you new and updated information in a language that you can understand. Our show each and every week features four various segments. We start our show with what's called the Smart Money Tip of the Week. In the second segment, we go to what I call is my favorite session, which is called Pay No Attention to the Man Behind the Curtain. And we tell you a little secret that might be a myth, might be something that's misunderstood about the way that you've been thinking about something in your financial life. The third segment highlights a particular topic or expanded feature that falls under the financial planning category that we try to make interesting for you, that we try to teach it to you in a language you can understand. And the fourth segment is what I call mailbag. It's an opportunity for us to reach deep into the mailbag and pull out a letter from a listener. And if you'd like to send a question to us, send it to my website, friedmanfinancial.com. Just go ahead and put in the question. Or if you want, give my office a call, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Give the office a call. We'll listen to your question, and we'll consider responding to it on our show. Now, you should also know that when we do the mailbag segment, somebody each and every month wins a free American Express gift card. So, hey, that could be you. So go ahead and send in your question. We've got a lot of things in store for you this morning. It's Palm Sunday, so if you're celebrating Palm Sunday, hope you're getting ready. Hope you're putting on your best digs and heading off to church if that's what you're going to do. Or perhaps you're just going to sit back and watch SpongeBob SquarePants today. Whatever it is that you're choosing to do, I hope it's a great Sunday for you. We've got a great morning in store for you. Grab your cup of coffee. Take this opportunity. Hop on out of bed. Head down to the kitchen. Cook up some bacon and eggs. We're going to be with you all morning. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Do you wonder whether your investments, 401k, and Social Security income will be enough to support you in retirement? It's time to stop worrying and start planning. Hi, this is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial and Peabody, and host of Dollars and Cents, heard here Sundays from 7:30 to 8:30 a.m. For more than four decades, Friedman Financial has provided individuals and families on the North Shore with clear answers to retirement questions. We listen to your goals, review your whole financial situation, and craft an investment strategy especially for you. At Friedman Financial, planning is what we do, and we present ideas to you in a language you can understand. For a free initial consultation, call Friedman Financial at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or visit FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com.
Friedman Financial is an SEC registered investment advisor.
What you hear isn't just any beat, it's the actual heartbeat of a child in need. This is Ryan Tedder from One Republic. The beat of our new song, Feel Again, was created with heartbeats of children in need. Find out how it can help frontline health workers save millions of children at everybeatmatters.org.
Brought to you by Save the Children and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial and Peabody, and host of Dollars and Cents. Do you like what you're hearing on today's show? Does our approach to financial planning make sense to you? If you answered yes, then I'd like to learn more about your financial goals and objectives. You see, our team at Friedman Financial can help you put your financial house in order and keep your focus on the big picture. Sure, we manage money for you, but if you're like most of our clients, you want someone who provides advice in all areas of your financial life too. Think of us as your rational sounding board for financial questions and direction. If now's the time for you to get serious about your financial plan, we're here to help you with the strategies to get you there. For a free initial consultation, call Friedman Financial at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or visit FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com.
If I had $1 million, if I had $1 million.
Good morning and welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. It is our show that we're going to focus on taxes today. No, don't worry, I'm not going to put you to sleep on taxes. I find taxes not that exciting, but what I love to do is throw the shock value of taxes to people that don't truly understand how they all work and try to break down some of those myths and share with you some of the things that you could learn that are important to your life about making your financial life better. My name is Mark Friedman. I am president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Our firm's been around since 1968. No, I did not start in 1968. I was only 2 years old at the time. My father started the firm all the way back then. He's since retired in 2007, and we have two certified financial planners on staff. There's myself, Mark Friedman, and my other partner, Marion Gilman. Marion's been with me for 13 years. And the two of us work together as a team. What you need to know that if ever you want to work with us as your financial advisor, that it's never my clients or Marion's clients. It's our clients. We want you, as a resident of the North Shore, of the Merrimack Valley area, in southern New Hampshire area, we want you to know that you're not stuck with dealing with one person. You've got a team working with you to help you with your financial questions. And, you know, I will tell people that one of the big myths that's out there is that investing isn't that hard. A lot of people seem to think that investing is this huge mathematical formula that you got to figure out and only the smartest people in the world know how to invest. That is so, so wrong. Because you know what? Nobody does. There's no right or wrong answer to investing because everybody's life is different. What's the harder part is weaving your investment decisions into everything else in your financial life. And oftentimes so many people overlook that. At Friedman Financial, that's where we start. We start with understanding who you are, what you're worth, how it all works in your life, how you spend money, how you use money, how you earn money, and what your goals and aspirations are both now and in the future. And then, just then, we begin to talk about the investments. And it all works out. It really does. But one of the most important parts of making investment decisions is understanding how the tax implications all tie into everything else that you do. Now, one of the big decisions that we see a lot of people, especially retiree baby boomers, facing is this decision to retire. They're in their early 60s, perhaps. They're deciding, do I have enough money to retire? How will I use my money to support my lifestyle? A couple of weeks ago, we talked about the difference between spending and saving. A lot of people were always taught how to save money, but not how to spend money. Well, part of what we do at Friedman Financial is give you the tools and help you understand how to spend money in your retirement. And so this week, in our special segment called Pay No Attention to the Man Behind the Curtain, we are going to show you, we're going to give you some instruction on some things that perhaps you didn't know. I'm going to pull back the curtain a little bit. So brace yourself, folks. Now is the time. We're going to go to our special segment called Pay No Attention to the Man Behind the Curtain.
Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. The great man Oz has spoken.
In this week's segment, we focus on a myth that a lot of people believe. A lot of people seem to think they are in a particular, quote, tax bracket, close quote. Everyone seems to think, well, geez, if I make $70,000 a year, I must be in the 28% tax bracket, which means that if I'm going to spend my money, if I'm going to retire and I need $70,000 a year, I need to deduct 28% to pay taxes, and then I'll have money left over. Well, folks, that's not quite the case. And I will tell you, the vast majority of our clients have a total net worth between $500,000 and $2 million. Now, when I say total net worth, that's not just the money you can invest that you have to invest. It's the value of your house. It's everything in your life. And I will tell you, of the 450 households that we have with a total net worth between $500,000 and $2 million, this group generally wants to spend in retirement somewhere between $4,000 a month and $9,000 a month. So somewhere between, I don't know, $48,000, $50,000 and $100,000 in retirement. That's what they want to spend. When you think about that, what tax bracket do you think all of those folks are in? You're not, I will tell you, the answer is not 28%. The answer is probably closer to 13 to 17%. And people say, what? Really? How is that possible? Well, here's the deal. When you fill out your tax return, I want you to take a look at your 1040 this year when you do your taxes. Your 1040 is that two-page form that's the kind of the executive summary, if you will, of all of the itemized items that go below your taxes. If you look at the bottom of page one of your 1040, that number is what's called your adjusted gross income. Sometimes people refer to it as your AGI. I want you to take a look at that number. That number represents all of the collective earnings that you have, all of the money that is reportable for taxes at the bottom of that page. Now, you might think, okay, let's just use that number. Let's say it's $100,000. And you might think, well, I must have to pay 28% on that $100,000. Well, what a lot of people forget is before you pay taxes on that $100,000, the government, yes, the government allows you to take some deductions against that income. There are two very important pieces that people do not understand and utilize fully. Number one is what's called the standard deduction. There is a number that the government immediately says, I don't care how much money you make, you can take this as a deduction. Or you can choose to itemize your deductions. And that is what's called Schedule A of your tax return. It's usually the next page after your 1040. That's where you list items like the property tax that you paid, the excise tax that you paid, charitable contributions that you made, points, closing costs, mortgage interest. All of those things are listed. Perhaps you had big medical costs. You might list them there. Perhaps you have assorted other expenses that are appropriate business expenses listed on Schedule A of your tax return. Whatever that number is and is acceptable, that gets posted on page 2 of your 1040, and so you deduct that amount of money from your adjusted gross income. For instance, if you have a mortgage, and let's say you're paying $2,000 a month on your mortgage, chances are, as you probably well know, certainly in the first few years, most of that $2,000 a month is interest, of which can be tax deductible. So let's say that of the $24,000 a month, of the $24,000, $20,000 of it is deductible. And let's assume you have no other deductions on Schedule A. I'm trying to make this real simple. You take that $100,000 I talked about on the bottom of your AGI, you then take your $20,000 in interest that you paid to the for your mortgage. Now your number is at $80,000. Oh, but wait, there's more. There's something else called your personal exemption. How many people actually reside in your house to whom are dependent? Let's say you're married and you have two kids. Each one of you is entitled to what's called a personal exemption. And each year, there's an amount of money that's designated. It's a few thousand dollars per person. So you multiply that number up, and let's say it's 4,000. In fact, I've got the number around here in one of my special pay. Oh, here it is. In 2012, it was $3,800. In 2013, it'll be $3,900. But it's $3,800 times, let's say, four people in your household. That's, I don't have my calculator in front of me. Let's call it $14,000. So we take 14 from the 80 that we had. Now we're down to $66,000. So you're paying tax on $66,000, not on $100,000. So the tax on $66,000 might be, you might say, well, you know, you go to the tax table, it comes out to about 28%. That might be the case. But that's 28% on $66,000. When you take that $28,000 and you put it on the real income, which was the actual money that you brought in, $100,000, you'll find that's called, that's a different type of tax. That's called your effective tax rate. That works out so much better, so much lower, and it's not going to be that big 28% number that everybody worries about. I will tell you, people misunderstand the amount of money that goes onto tax returns. You know, I think it was earlier last year where the president was referring to anybody that makes over $250,000 is considered rich. Now, most people said, geez, I don't know if $250,000 is really the number that describes someone as being rich. But I will tell you this, what you didn't hear the president say was that the number he was referring to was that taxable amount, that taxable income number. That's after deductions, after exemptions. So you could be making $400,000 a year. But perhaps you got big deductions. Perhaps you've got exemptions. You've got a lot of things. People that make $400,000 a year might make large charitable contributions. They may have bigger mortgage payments. They may have larger expenses that they can offset. Remember, all the state tax that you pay gets offset against that adjusted gross income number as well. So that number begins to reduce rather significantly. So $250,000 is the number that everybody heard, and they say, geez, I might make between my spouse and I, maybe we make $250,000 a year. We certainly don't feel rich. He wasn't talking to you. He did a poor job trying to explain that because he made everybody feel bad about it. But you got to explain the difference between what you're really paying tax on and what the income really is. So the whole message behind this, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain segment, is really understanding and knowing what the real numbers are, what the real percentages are that surround your tax return. So I will encourage you to do this. Here's the exercise that I'm asking each one of you to do. When you get your tax return this month or next month when you have it done, I want you to look at the number on the back that says, I think it's like line 60, line 70, something like that, on page 2 of your 1040. And take a look at that number. It says total tax. This is the total tax that you owe. Whatever that number is, I want you to take that number and divide it into your adjusted gross income. That's the bottom of page 1 or the top of page 2 that carries over. You get that percentage, and I will bet you that number is 17% or under. Now, it's not going to be that case for everybody. Of course not. But I would guess that 70 to 90% of the people listening to this radio show will have a percentage that's under 17%. You will be blown away when you really begin to realize the amount of tax that a tax percentage that you're paying. Now, I'll also tell you this. It drives me nuts, absolutely nuts. When we have a client come to our office and they say, Mark, my accountant really screwed me this year. I can't believe that my accountant came back and told me that I owe money to the government. I owe $200. I need a new accountant. It has nothing to do with your accountant. Your accountant didn't decide, well, let's see how much tax we can charge this one. No, that's not how that works. It's a calculated formula. It is what it is. You either have taxes withheld properly or have taxes over withheld, whatever it might be. You just got to be careful. Your tax preparer is just providing you with an answer to the information that you give them. Now, I will also tell you this. Here's a few other things. If you don't give them all the information, well, that's not their fault. That's your fault. If for whatever reason you say, well, the investment company didn't send it to me, so I thus didn't give it to my accountant, that's not your accountant's fault. That's your fault. You're responsible for gathering your information. You're responsible for tracking all of the charitable contributions that you make. You're responsible for listing your Social Security number properly. You're responsible for giving the proper date of birth, the address, your income amounts. You're responsible for those things. You cannot blame your accountant for that. Now, what you can blame your accountant for, if he's not telling you how to maximize some of the items that are out there, like taking better withholdings, changing the withholdings on your pay stub, participating in an IRA, using a child care tax credit, using an education tax credit. Perhaps you even have an investment advisory account, an account where you pay fees to a financial advisor rather than commissions. If you pay advisory fees to a financial advisor, they are potentially, and I say potentially, tax deductible on Schedule A of your tax return. Let's say, for instance, you have a total adjusted gross income of $100,000 and you have a $500,000 investment account with your investment advisor and they charge you a 1% fee. Well, that fee over the course of the year is 1% of $500,000 is $5,000. The rule is, if, and you have to look at a variety of situations, but in general, anything that exceeds 2% of your adjusted gross income in business expenses, which would be investment advisory fees, legal fees, attorney fees, things like that, tax preparation fees, is potentially tax deductible to you. So what's 2% of $100,000? Everyone, $2,000. I heard you yelling it. That was good. So $2,000, and if you paid a $5,000 investment advisory fee, $5,000 minus $2,000 equals, hurry up, go get your second grader. He'll give you the answer to this one. $5,000 minus $2,000 is $3,000. That's potentially a tax deductible item. Maybe that's something that your accountant might bring to your attention, but if you didn't tell your accountant that you were paying advisory fees, they can't even know that. They can't help you with that. I will tell you this, though. Commissions that you pay for stock and bond trades, commissions that you pay for mutual funds, all those things, not eligible for tax deductibility. So be careful. You need to understand what is tax deductible, what isn't. Rely on your accountant to give you that right information. When we come back, we're going to give you some more information to help you avoid an IRS tax audit. You know, there's certain things that you can do, certain ways in which you report things. Not that I'm a tax expert here, but I'm going to read you something that came out of Kiplinger's that really will help you understand how you can better position yourself to avoid having to be in the situation where you might have a tax audit. We're going to be right back. My name is Mark Friedman. You've been listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Do you wonder whether your investments, 401k, and Social Security income will be enough to support you in retirement? It's time to stop worrying and start planning. Hi, this is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial and Peabody, and host of Dollars and Cents, heard here Sundays from 7:30 to 8:30 a.m. For more than four decades, Friedman Financial has provided individuals and families on the North Shore with clear answers to retirement questions. We listen to your goals, review your whole financial situation, and craft an investment strategy especially for you. At Friedman Financial, planning is what we do, and we present ideas to you in a language you can understand. For a free initial consultation, call Friedman Financial at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or visit FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com.
Friedman Financial is an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Soon this little baby I'm singing to sleep will start to walk. First, she'll crawl. Then take her first baby steps. Before I know it, I'll be dropping her off at school. I'll be watching her run down a soccer field. Staying up all night waiting for her to get home from her first date. Wincing when she steps on the gas pedal and then the brakes. Beaming when she walks up to accept her diploma. Or holding back tears as she takes those big steps down the aisle. But before she takes all those steps, she and thousands like her will need you to take yours. Gather your family, friends, and co-workers and join March for Babies to help make her steps possible. March for Babies! Start your team today at marchforbabies.org.
My wife and I are spending more time on our computer. It's changing the way we live.
Mostly for the better.
Like paying our bills.
Or researching vacation spots.
But there can be a downside.
Right, like fake drugs being sold over the internet.
Because they look real and they seem like a great bargain.
And you can't always tell what's a fake.
Well, we learn the hard way.
At the emergency room.
Thousands of people are scammed into buying counterfeit drugs every day, thinking they're getting a deal. And rather than contain the active ingredient, they may contain dangerous elements like antifreeze, sawdust, or floor wax, resulting in potentially serious health risks. So never buy prescription or over-the-counter drugs online from unknown or unlicensed sources, as they are often dangerous fakes. Counterfeits hurt, but you have the power to stop them. To learn more, go to www.ncpc.org/get real. Brought to you by the National Crime Prevention Council and the Bureau of Justice Assistance, U.S. Department of Justice.
Hi, this is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial and Peabody, and host of Dollars and Cents. Do you like what you're hearing on today's show? Does our approach to financial planning make sense to you? If you answered yes, then I'd like to learn more about your financial goals and objectives. You see, our team at Friedman Financial can help you put your financial house in order and keep your focus on the big picture. Sure, we manage money for you, but if you're like most of our clients, you want someone who provides advice in all areas of your financial life, too. Think of us as your rational sounding board for financial questions and direction. If now's the time for you to get serious about your financial plan, we're here to help you with the strategies to get you there. For a free initial consultation, call Friedman Financial at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or visit FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com.
You're listening to the North Shore's number one station for good time favorites and fun all weekend long. WBOQ Gloucester.
Your good time favorites, North Shore 104.9.
Who finds the money?
I know you got a mess of dough here.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I am your host today. It is the top of the hour. It is about 8 o'clock or so. Hope you're enjoying yourself this wonderful Sunday morning, enjoying a nice cup of coffee, having some breakfast with maybe the family. Perhaps you're planning for a great day, or perhaps you're just laying in bed. If you're sleeping, you're definitely not listening to me. That would be my guess. You just haven't woken up yet. So for all of you that haven't woken up yet, I can't talk to you, but I can talk to those that are awake. And if you really like the show today and you know somebody that was sleeping and you say to them, geez, I wish you heard what Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial really had to say on North Shore 104.9, I encourage you to introduce them to what are called podcasts. Just go NorthShore1049.com. You go there and you can find the podcast. It's usually posted on Tuesdays following this show. So if you thought you heard something important, if perhaps you heard me say something that you said, geez, he has no idea what the heck he's talking about, I want to listen to that again, and then shoot him an email to say, you're an idiot, Mark. You have no idea what you're talking about. You can do that, too. I mean, that's the benefit of having digital technology. I take the good, the bad, and the ugly. I hear it all here, but we're just trying to have some fun. Our goal here of the show is to give you some financial education, some of the information about money that is oftentimes too hard to understand. I want to give it to you in plain English, talk to you like an average, normal, everyday person, and try to give you some advice and some direction so you can begin to make smart money decisions. Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial is on each and every Sunday beginning at 7:30 in the morning. We also offer to every single one of our listeners what's called Planning Pointers. It's a free weekly newsletter that comes out through my website. It gets dumped right into your inbox at 10:30 in the morning. All you need to do, go to my website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com. Put your name in there. Tell us where you heard us, and I hope you'll write down North Shore 104.9 so that we can track where some of the great listeners are coming from. We generally get 4 to 5 requests each and every week. We're also getting 4 or 5 requests to be part of our mailbag, which is a whole other segment that comes up later on in the show. But what's really nice is I'm seeing that the signal here at North Shore 104.9 has really expanded. And when they talk about the fact that there's a new signal, they really mean it, because perhaps you're listening to us in Burlington, in Waltham, in southern New Hampshire, in Andover, out in Gloucester as well. And I'll tell you, many of those regions did not get this station just a few months ago. So congratulations. We welcome you aboard. We hope you're enjoying the show, and we hope you'll continue to listen to Good Time Favorites throughout the course of the week, and of course listen to Dollars and Cents here on Sundays at 7:30 or 8 o'clock, because that's what time it is right now, around 8 o'clock. But what I promised to you in the last segment is that I was going to try to give you some secrets, some tips, some ideas on how you can try to avoid an audit. Let's take a look at it this way. From when you're thinking about your taxes, what are some of the things that happen that might trigger a tax audit? One of the first things that ends up happening is the fact that if you make a lot of money, and everyone says, what is a lot of money? Well, does anybody really have an answer to that question? What is a lot? When someone says, I make a lot of money, what is a lot of money? Is $50,000 a lot of money? Well, if you were making $30,000, $50,000, a lot of money. If you're making $50,000 and you heard someone else was making $70,000 or $80,000, you might say, jeez, they're making a lot of money. It all depends. If someone's making $1 million, yeah, that's a lot of money. But the guy that makes $1 million year after year and knows of somebody that's making $10 million, he's going, I don't make that much money. He's making $10 million. It's different for everybody. I will tell you this. A study once said that if you wanted to determine what is a lot of money, take your current salary and double it. Generally, people will think, they'll think about the money that they make, because no one ever thinks what they're making is a lot of money. But if you doubled your salary, you'd say, yeah, I'm making a lot of money. Well, throughout your lifetime, as you well know, you might have started making $6,000 a year, and today you're making either $60,000 or $160,000 or $250,000. Each time when you were making $6,000 or $12,000 or $24,000, when you moved up to $48,000 or to $65,000, you didn't all of a sudden say, now I'm making a lot of money. It's all relative. So, but what the IRS is telling us, that the overall individual audit rate at the IRS for people to do taxes is 1.1% of all tax returns. However, if you show an income of over $200,000, there's a 3.93% that you will get audited once every 25 years. However, if you show an income of $1 million, $1 million, remember that from the movie Twins? Remember that with Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito? Danny DeVito go, $1 million. I love saying that. If you have $1 million or more of income, there's a 1 in 8 chance. Now, I notice how they did this, a 1 in 8 chance as opposed to making it into a percentage. It was 3.93% or 1.1%. Here they say a 1 in 8 chance. It's a 12.5% chance that you will get, because that's one. It's how it works out. A 1 in 8 chance, or 1/8 of the time, you'll get audited. The audit rate drops significantly if you make less than $200,000. The chances of you getting audited at that level is very, very slim. But you never know. I'm not trying to say that you should make less money so you don't get audited. Don't take it that way. Making more money can be a good thing. We just want you to do it the proper way. Here's another way that some people might trigger themselves for an audit. You neglect to report all of your income. Now, that's important. You need to report all of your income. Now, what's interesting is years and years ago, reporting to the IRS of what your income was not nearly as automated and computerized as it is today. For instance, when you take a distribution from your IRA, if you're over 70 and a half, for instance, you have to take a distribution from your IRA. Or if you're over 59 and a half, you can take money from your IRA. That amount that's taken out is automatically reported to the IRS. There were times when that was not reported all that easily. It wasn't read all that easily by the IRS. But now the IRS knows if you neglect to report that, if you neglect to report the income and dividends that you get from your stocks, from your mutual funds, et cetera, you're in trouble. So one way to avoid that, and I find this becomes a problem, there's still a lot of people out there that continue to hold on to individual stock certificates. You keep your stock certificates in your underwear drawer, in your safe deposit box, under a mattress. They're scattered all over the place. And because of that, you think to yourself, well, I'm still getting my dividend check, and I love getting my dividend check from AT&T and from Bell Atlantic and from Verizon and all these companies, GE. I like to get my dividend check, and you figure if I hold my stock certificate, I can get my dividend checks mailed to me. Well, that's all well and good. You could still do that a lot of different ways. But when you have your dividend checks mailed to you like that, you're getting an individual 1099 for every single one of the various stock entities that you have. And that can be cumbersome, and it's very easy to lose one or two of those 1099s. If you don't report one of those 1099s, you're setting up a red flag to the IRS that says, we want to kind of look at those books. I'll tell you one way that you can really, really clean that all up, and we offer this at no cost to our clients, is if you've got stock certificates scattered all over the place, bring them all over to us. We will set up a single brokerage account for you. All of your stocks get deposited into this electronic brokerage account. Everything's electronic these days. I'm not holding onto your stock certificates. It's not going to be sitting in the drawer next to me. It's not in a safe in my office. It goes electronic. It really, really does. And it works. Technology works these days. It goes into that system. All of the dividends that normally get paid, no, they don't get paid to me. They get paid into your account. Now, if you want, I can have the checks automatically direct deposited into your bank account every time that dividend gets paid. Or what we can do, we can accumulate all the dividends for the month, and at the end of the month, send you a check, whether it's direct into your banking account or just mail you a check, because some people say, oh, I just love going down to the mailbox and opening up that envelope to see a check inside. It probably goes back to the old Ed McMahon days, you know, when he said he would send you $1 million if you won the Reader's Digest lottery, whatever, the sweepstakes. But people still, for whatever reason, there's a generation that just loves to hold the check. I actually think the reason why a lot of people love to hold the check is because it now gives them something to do for the day. You have to now go to the bank. And years ago, people used to get dressed up. They used to get dressed up to go to the bank. It was a big day. We're going to go get all our checks together. We're going to go visit Emily or our Millie that works the teller booth over at the bank. We'd hang out. We'd chat. Then we'd have a lunch date. We'd go out and do things. Perhaps that's what you're doing right now, and that's okay, but things have changed a little bit now. Everything can be electronic. Everything can be handled electronically, and you still get your money. Yes, you do. You get to use your money any way you want. So there's a lot of different ways in which you can create efficiencies, but my biggest fear is that you'll end up getting a red flag going up to the IRS because you neglected to report one of the 1099s that you misplaced, forgot that you got, whatever it was, from one of the individual stocks. So here's another reason that a red flag could go up when doing your taxes. Perhaps your deductions appear bigger than they should based upon the income that you have. Let's say, for instance, you had a $100,000 income, and you wrote that you made a charitable contribution of $75,000 to your church. Now, you might think to yourself, how is that possible that you were able to make a $75,000 contribution to your church but only made $100,000. That's going to be a red flag to the IRS. It just, because they look at what's the reasonable percentage of money that someone might make, and based upon the amount that someone might make, what is the reasonable percentage that could go to various charitable or nonprofit entities? That number is, I don't know, it's probably in the special vault at the IRS what that magic number is, because no one wants to tell you what it is. But I would say that, look, tithing, and that's a new, that was a new word for me, believe it or not, because in the, it's funny, in the North Shore, we don't hear the word tithing, which is making charitable contributions, agreeing to put a percentage of your pay, each and every paycheck, to your church, to some type of a nonprofit organization. In the South, tithing is just a normal, everyday expression. But that percentage of 10 to 15% of your pay, my personal feeling, I'm not making a recommendation here, but I would say that if your charitable contribution is under 10 to 15% of your adjusted gross income, I would seem to think that you're going to be in good shape. All right, here's another one. Some people elect to manage what they call an office out of their home, and they end up taking deductions for their home office. If your deductions are rather significant, you may raise a red flag to the IRS, especially if your home office is not your full-time office. Some people have an office that they go to an office somewhere, but they also say they work out of their home a few hours of the day, part of the day, whatever. You want to be careful there. Be very careful. If you've got a computer in your home office, but you use some of it to help your kids with their homework, is that 100% counted as a business expense? Probably not. And another one that we spend way too much time on as a deduction is claiming your vehicle as 100% business use. I'm sorry, there is nobody. I don't care if you have a company car, you're able to deduct the mileage or the expenses for business use. There is no way that 100% of your time is using that car for business use. There's plenty of moments in time. It's not just a moment. There's lots of opportunities where you're using the car to drive a lot of different places. Just be reasonable. Be careful. But if you put down 100% of your cost is all business related in your car, you're asking yourself for trouble. Just be reasonable. Please be reasonable. Another place where people get in trouble is deducting way too much for meals and entertainment expenses, especially if you're a self-employed individual. Be reasonable with this stuff, guys. You know, every time you take the kids out for dinner and you ask the kids, so kids, how was your day today? And the kids respond, well, Dad, how was work today? That's really not considered a business conversation. You can't really say that, you know, all right, we'll take dinner at the 99 tonight as a business expense because my kids asked how business was and we were telling them about how the I don't know how hamburgers are made. And so that was a kind of a business discussion that we had today where we used French fries and hamburgers and why they go so well together. No, you can't do that. Be reasonable and make sure you jot down who you talk to. If you're going to deduct it, make sure you jot down who you talk to, what you talked about, so that there is a clear and current record of it. And the last thing is, last item that is potentially a red flag to the IRS. If you run a cash business, be reasonable for what you're reporting. The IRS expects you to report what you earn. So if you run a sausage cart down, you know, on Revere Beach and everything is all cash and you say, oh, we didn't make any money this month or this summer. Geez, I think we brought in around $200 for sausages, but they realize that you spent $7,000 on sausages for the summer. You're asking yourself for some big trouble. Make sure you're fair. Make sure you're appropriate in the way you report your taxes. I am not a tax professional. I'll make that very clear. I do not do taxes, but as a certified financial planner, I can provide some tax planning advice. And that's kind of what we did today. A lot of these ideas that I gave you came from an article that was in Kiplinger's magazine. I did not come up with these things. I'm just kind of reading them from that story. These are not specific pieces of advice. They are general situations that I want you to discuss with your accountant. I want you to think about. I want you to consider how it all fits into your situation. So those are some of the important issues that I think could potentially raise a red flag to you. In our next segment, we're going to be going to our mailbag. But before we head off there, I want to remind you once again, if you'd like to receive our newsletter called Planning Pointers, it comes out each and every Friday at 10:30. Go to my website, FriedmanFinancial.com, and you will get our free newsletter, Planning Pointers. It'll be in your mailbox every single Friday. You'll love it, filled with all sorts of little tips, and you might learn a little bit more about financial planning as well. It's a pleasure talking with you today. I'm going to be back in just a couple minutes to dig deep into the mailbag. We'll be right back. You've been listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Do you wonder whether your investments, 401k, and Social Security income will be enough to support you in retirement? It's time to stop worrying and start planning. Hi, this is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial and Peabody, and host of Dollars and Cents, heard here Sundays from 7:30 to 8:30 a.m. For more than four decades, Friedman Financial has provided individuals and families on the North Shore with clear answers to retirement questions. We listen to your goals, review your whole financial situation, and craft an investment strategy especially for you. At Friedman Financial, planning is what we do, and we present ideas to you in a language you can understand. For a free initial consultation, call Friedman Financial at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or visit FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com.
Friedman Financial is an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Do something good for your heart. Volunteer to play with young homeless children living in shelters. You can make a real difference by becoming a Play Space Activity Leader or PAL with Horizons for Homeless Children. A commitment of 2 hours per week for at least 6 months is required. To apply or find out more, call 978-557-2182 or go to horizonschildren.org/playspace.
Hi, this is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial in Peabody and host of Dollars and Cents. Do you like what you're hearing on today's show? Does our approach to financial planning make sense to you? If you answered yes, then I'd like to learn more about your financial goals and objectives. You see, our team at Friedman Financial can help you put your financial house in order and keep your focus on the big picture. Sure, we manage money for you, but if you're like most of our clients, you want someone who provides advice in all areas of your financial life too. Think of us as your rational sounding board for financial questions and direction. If now's the time for you to get serious about your financial plan, we're here to help you with the strategies to get you there. For a free initial consultation, call Friedman Financial at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or visit FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com.
Show me the money!
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I am CEO and president of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts. It is my pleasure to have you with us today. It is so nice to be here on the radio station on this beautiful Sunday morning. It is Palm Sunday. It is one day before Passover. Easter's coming up the following Sunday. Lots of things to think about. But what we want to help you prepare for and what we want you to think about is money. Money. Everybody touches money. Everybody uses money. And at this point in time in the year, a lot of people are getting ready to pay their taxes or prepare their taxes. So this segment has been all about taxes this week. In the final segment of our show, we focus on a topic called the mailbag. The mailbag allows us to dig deep into this big bag that is filled with letters, lots of notes, comments, criticisms too, that all come to me, and people are asking questions that they'd like me to address and talk about on the radio. So what we're going to do right now, folks, it is mail time.
Mail time.
Mail time.
Mail time. The mail is here.
Look, Bullwinkle, a message in a bow.
Look. We've got mail.
It's the email. The email. What? The email.
We're going to dig deep into our mailbag right now, and I'm going to pull out a question that comes from Stacy. Stacy, who lives in Essex, Massachusetts. She actually asked me two tax questions this week, and they relate to taxes. They were appropriate for the show. So the first question that she said, that she wrote to me, is she says, I am 72 years old. I have an annuity. And I did not receive a 1099 for my annuity, and I'm worried. Why didn't I get one? I think the insurance company doesn't understand what they're doing. Stacy, I appreciate your question. I'm sure the insurance company at least knows what they're doing when it comes to sending 1099s, but that's fair of you to not think that they know what they're doing. My guess is, and perhaps they don't know what they're doing, so let me expand the question a little bit. If the annuity company had sent you money over the course of the year, they would be required to issue you a 1099. However, and I know you mentioned that you're 72 years old, but perhaps your annuity is what's called a non-qualified annuity, which means that you are not required to take any money out at 72. You're not required to take any money out of all of your annuity. If that's the case, if you did not take any money out of your annuity, you are not likely to get a 1099, Thus, there's nothing to report on your tax return. Now, they send you a statement, I'm sure, that shows you the value of your annuity account. But a 1099 is only issued for purposes of reporting on your tax return. So my guess is that's the reason. I don't know if I'd start pointing fingers at the insurance company yet. However, if they did send you money over the course of the year and you didn't get a 1099, that's when I'd be a little concerned. Go and put a call out to the insurance company or the annuity company. Ask them for a copy of the 1099, which I'm sure they could email, mail to you, scan it, and send it to you however you'd like to get it. Or you can just pull out a statement in reality and just show it to your accountant and say, hey, this is something that I don't think was reported properly, but I think it needs to be on the tax return. Honesty is always the best policy. I'd encourage you to do that. Your second question that you asked is you said you wanted to know why you got a revised 1099 this year. Now, there's a lot of people that complain that the revised 1099s come out too late in the year. Well, as you well know, it used to be that 1099s had to be emailed or mailed to you no later than the 31st of January. But because of the use of brokerage accounts these days, where people are using multitudes of different investment companies and having everything consolidated onto one statement, the brokerage company has to wait for all of these investment companies to report their numbers to them before they can turn around and send out a 1099. And so what these brokerage companies have done, they went to the IRS and they said, hey, could we get an extension? And so most of the brokerage companies are allowed to wait until the 15th or so of February before they send out their 1099. Now, I know a lot of people don't like that because they like to get their refund back real early. They want to do their taxes early. But if you've got a brokerage statement, the reason why it came out on the 15th of February is because they have that allowance of waiting for all these investment companies to report their numbers. However, there are always a few laggards in the group. There are always a few that have what are called foreign interest items that they want to add. There's a variety of misrepresentations or miscalculations that were done before that information was sent to the brokerage company. And if there's even a one penny difference, they need to send it off to the brokerage account, and the brokerage firm then needs to send a revised 1099. Now, you might say to yourself, well, if I get a revised 1099 after I've already prepared my taxes, what should I do? My answer to you in those cases is talk to your accountant and let them determine whether it makes sense to refile your tax return or not. Sometimes the difference in tax savings or tax cost is inconsequential, but leave that to the hands of the accountant to make that decision. Two very good questions, Stacey. We really appreciate you listening to the show, and I hope you do well in filing your taxes. Don't get all excited if you don't get a big refund. That's okay. You know, the ideal way for you to do your taxes is to either owe $200 or get back $200. If you could stay within that range of $200 plus or minus, I think you've done a really good job planning to do your taxes. Well, we're approaching the end of our show. It has been a tax planning week. We've tried to give you a bunch of different pieces of advice as you might go into the final few weeks of getting your returns off to your accounts. I will tell you this. Please don't wait until the 14th of April to get the information to your accountant and expect to have your taxes done by the 15th of April. That's not their fault. You generally have enough information for you to get it to your accountants in ample time. They will work hard to get that work done for you. And if you're doing taxes on your own, really begin to question. I really ask a lot of people to question whether it's worth the time, effort, and energy to do taxes on your own. I'm not promoting any tax accounting firm at all. I do not prepare taxes, but I think there's something that's called opportunity cost that gets lost. The amount of time that you agonize trying to determine the answers to the questions that TurboTax might ask you on the screen, Quicken might ask you on the screen. Yeah, I mean, tax returns are going to cost you some money. It might be real inexpensive, like $100. It could be $400. It could be, if your tax return's costing you more than $500 to do, you deserve to be working with an accountant anyways. But really, think about what the value is of doing it on your own. If it's simple, do it. If it's not, pay somebody to do it. It has been my pleasure being with you again here this Sunday. I wish you the happiest of a day today. I hope you have a wonderful time. I will be back with you again next week, which will be Easter Sunday. I will be here giving you another wonderful presentation, I hope. Don't know what the topic's going to be. We'll have to see. We'll see what the markets bring for us. We'll see what the day brings. We'll see what the economic situation looks like. But overall, look forward to great things ahead. It's been wonderful being with you today. You've been listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
prior show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management, its employees, or staff.